You know what that song means? That countdown song can only mean one thing. It's Aphids time. Woo! Slash whatever other show uses this countdown music because we don't own it.
The default countdown music.
Hi everyone, welcome back to 8 Bits. I'm Chloe Condon and I'm here with my co-host Brandon Minnick. How you doing, Brandon?
Oh, so good. So good to see you again as always.
Yeah,
it's been just a great week because it's, you know, it's Thanksgiving here in the US and
Thanksgiving.
Most people take this week off from work and that kind of means you don't really have to do any work this week. Even if you don't take it off. So
I don't know about that. I've been buying, I bought a pie today. So that's like, eating that is going to be a lot of work. But yeah, it is kind of a chill week, isn't it?
Yeah, like all my meetings get canceled. Even when I show up, like I showed up for a meeting on Monday and it's like a weekly meeting and my manager's like, oh yeah, sorry, forgot to tell you, I'm totally out this week. And it's like, okay, yeah, no problem. Like,
everyone's
always happy to do less meetings.
Like it's a festival of food. I'm super stoked because, well, first of all, I walked over to the grocery store today and I got 1.5 pies. Very exciting this time of year. They're offering a pie and a half so you can try more pie options. But on the topic of food, I have been working on this really awesome project with the Microsoft Student Ambassadors called The Seasons of Serverless. Ding. Insert sound effect, turkey gobble here, which is all about kind of the holidays, but it's actually about the food traditions of the holidays. So it's been really fun content to work on because one day we're doing like Azure functions that are turkey focused. So like we're using Azure functions to predict the perfect rhyme for North American tradition and Bohemian traditions. Ooh. Our next one is going to be lovely ladoos, which if you've ever had a Indian ladoo before, so tasty.
No,
so
what's that?
It's like, okay, so this is so cute. Hopefully I'm not spoiling anything. If not, I think it's like happening tomorrow, so it's fine. But ladoos are just little desserts. They're like these little balls. They look like donut holes almost. And ooh, these two students who worked with Jasmine, another cloud advocate on the team, built AI that can help determine, because ladoos look very, very similar to donut holes. So using Azure Cognitive Services, Azure Cognitive Services, they're able to determine if it's a ladoo. They're able to train this data set enough, because really the only differentiation between a ladoo and a donut hole are maybe some like sesame seeds or something. So really cool projects, all food themed. I'm making videos for each one of them. The link is below for the challenges. So you complete the challenges. There's 7 of them, I believe, 7 days of seasonings of serverless. And check out the videos on my YouTube because they're really goofy and they have a lot of turkey sound effects in them. And just these kids, I say kids, but like these students are going to be CEOs and my boss someday. They're so smart and amazing. And I'm just so lucky I get to work with them.
So everybody might as well watch the videos now, get to know them because they'll be taking over the world in a couple of years anyways.
Isn't that kind of cool though, that like now with the age of the internet, because it like, I feel like a lot of people do video content now and there's a lot of things on the internet. Like my dad used to do theater and there's like no like digital memory at all of the shows that he did because it was pre-internet time. But that is really cool to think that like the next Bill Gates or the next like Satya out there, there may be like YouTube videos of them like struggling through a Twitch stream right now that exist.
Cool, but also kind of terrifying.
Yes.
Like, hope I look good 10 years ago.
Yeah, make sure your hair is looking good on him, like get good angles. Yeah,
I styled mine today. I went no hat.
Wow.
Just showing off the long hair, leaning into it.
I love it. I feel like so I've grown my hair out a little bit, but when I used to do theater, it was common practice, especially with a period piece. So we're talking, I mean, I never did Hamilton, but something like Les Mis or My Fair Lady, they'd always tell the boys, grow out your hair because it's a period piece. And then someone would cut their hair in a buzz cut and the costume designer would get really mad. So I feel like, Brandon, you're ready to do, let's see, what musical will we cast you in? Could do like a Pirates of Penzance. Got a good length going on now.
It feels good. I think I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, do put like a pompadour in there, like just like roof lightning.
Yeah, I tried to do a little poof right here, but we'll see if it holds up.
How's everybody in the chat? How's everybody's hair doing during the pandemic? I would take off my hats, but my roots look crazy. 2020 is so weird. What a weird year. It's quite the strange time for long hair and just strange goings on.
a lot of pajama pants. That's been kind of my life.
Yes. Yeah. It's been quite the time. Well, I'm super excited today, Brandon, because first I have to tell you a quick life hack, because it would not be 8-bits without mentioning theme parks. I bought some. So are you familiar with these like wax candle melts? Like there's like candles and you like light a candle and it smells good. But like there's these things that you plug into the wall and you can like melt this wax. There's no flame. It's just like a little.
I've seen those in offices where like they don't allow flames. But if you want to bring in a scented candle to make it smell a little bit more like home.
So I have ADHD, so I'm terrible at leaving candles burning all the time, and I don't burn down my house. So I bought a wax candle melting thing, and I found this store that sells the scents of theme parks. So I'm talking like rides, like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, like very distinct scent. Like there's like an Avatar. I've never been on the Avatar ride because I've never been to Disney World, but it all smells like different things. So right now, I've got butterbeer going downstairs, universal smell. And upstairs, cat said mold, mildew. Yeah, I think that is the smell of the pirates. It's like that old water smell.
And like didn't BO get that from one. The people next to you.
Yeah, like an odd. But I got the Mickey's Gingerbread House smell upstairs. So for anybody out there who's looking to kind of upgrade their workspace, get some wax candle melts that smell like theme parks or things that you miss from the before times. That's my pro tip of the week.
Then it's like you're there. Then it's like you took a vacation to Disney World all over again.
And if anybody who watches the show gets the one that smells like pirates, let me know, because I'm curious if it smells like old water. Because I know that smell. Smell that smell.
Like dirty water, ride water.
Yeah, I love that. But the reason I bring it up is we have a theme park musical theater enthusiast joining us today. And right before we got onto this call, they were telling us that they were from Vallejo. And I have a quick Vallejo story to intro this person, because we're going to be talking today. Our guest, of course, is also a non-traditional background engineer, has had many different jobs in their past. And we also both went to SF State, fun fact. But when I was attending SF State, I had a weird odds and ends job as a children's birthday party entertainer for All-Star Showgrams, Brandon. Maybe you've heard of it before.
Kind of a big deal.
I don't know if their website is still up, but if I recall, it looked a lot like a GeoCities website. And it's quite a unique website. Long story short, I kind of got not conned. I really wanted to be one of those Disney princesses who performed at these children's birthday parties. It was a very hot gig back in the day for college girls. And they sucked me in. They were like, I did my first party and I was Cinderella and I got to wear this beautiful dress. But my second gig was in Vallejo and they tricked me and they said, oh, it's just a one-time thing. You'll be Minnie Mouse. I put on the weirdest, scariest looking Minnie Mouse costume, drive to the van with a man I barely knew to the middle of Vallejo, did balloon art and face painting for 3 hours of my life in Vallejo, came back. Probably the most money I had ever made in my life in college. So anyway, this is all to say, I think maybe myself and this guest have crossed paths at some point, either at college or maybe in that weird van on the way to Vallejo. So welcome everyone, Kat Carbonell. Woo! Woo! Hi.
I am great. Oh my god, I have a story, because I worked at, well, it used to be called Marine World.
Okay, yes, Six Flags Marine World. I know it well, the closest theme park to where I grew up.
Yes. And I was a henna tattoo artist in high school.
I love it.
Oh my god. So like I would just be practicing on myself. So I had an arm full of henna. Wow. And while I was like practicing, you know, I hated like numbers and script and stuff. So like these two guys were on their break. Like, I guess they manned the, I don't know, rides, and they go, "Hey, how much is it for a number or a letter?" And I'm like, "Depends on the style." And he goes, how much is for seven?" And I'm like,
I feel like, you know, when you have those questions in interviews, like in engineering interviews, where they're like, "Can you deal with a variety of personalities?" You could just be like, "I was a henna tattoo artist at Six Flags New World.
You have no idea.
I can handle
pressure." But also, it's like, "Hey, can you handle pressure? Have you played Tetris 99, sir?"
So, for those who are tuning in, who maybe don't follow you on Twitter, Kat, give us a little elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? I know you from Twitter, of course, and I've been watching your journey into software engineering. But give the lovely folks at home an introduction to you.
Okay. Well, hi, I'm Kat. I am a front-end engineer with design experience. I worked at Facebook as a contractor, and boy, was that fun. but right now, I am looking for either a DevRel or a front-end engineering job, and I've been looking since April. I made a lot of career pivots in my life, so I think they kind of see me as like, "Weirdo, what are you doing here?"
Very relatable. I remember when I was first applying to jobs, people would look at my resume and go, "Okay, like actress, Disney store, we'll pass." you kind of got your beginnings in tech kind of in the Neopets MySpace era, like I did as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like made an omelet store because I always like visited the big omelet in the middle of that one land, and I just collected omelets. Yeah. Onion. Onion, that's not on eBay.
Brandon,
she's a very aspiring entrepreneur.
Maybe Kat and Anna Medina, like maybe Kat sold an omelet to Anna. Like, this is like totally possible.
Full circle.
Talked about Neopets on the show before, and I, with the amount of, and who else? Charmaine as well. Yep. Neopet. I bet there's been some cross paths here. The 8-bit cinematic universe in the Neo is very big.
Yeah, like I needed to make it super pretty. So, oh my god, the omelet store! I need to make these omelets look appealing. So, what is it that these other stores are doing that I'm not doing? And then I discovered HTML, CSS. And then my brother comes home from college and he's just like, "Hey, let me teach you how to make a website." And he shows me GeoCities and I'm like, "Cool, let me make my Sailor Jupiter fan site." And then it all fell apart from there.
Oh, no.
I feel like fan sites and just like that whole era. And Brandon, let me know if this was the situation for you. Because as a gal who doesn't know anything about engineering, who like really loves computers, the era of like GeoCities Angel Fire was like, I am a wizard of the internet. The amount of fan pages for O-Town. I vividly remember, so I now make the newsletter for the academic team here at Microsoft internally, but I had a Pokemon newsletter that I sent. I had it through an AOL chat room. I was PikaPunk13 at AOL.com. Don't email me because I don't have the password. And I had a newsletter that I ran with someone whose screen name was like Zubat something. And there was a word search. It was a very intricate experience. Wow. So I feel like these fandoms like help create this passion for tech for folks like us who weren't otherwise technically inclined or knew about that world. Did you do that as well, Brandon?
Well, that's why I'm so impressed. So I was always I would call myself a computer nerd growing up. Like, sure. I bought the parts, built my own computer. I was like, you know, I've learned the command line stuff back in the Windows 3.1 days so that I could play video games. And so love computers, was always on computers, but I never actually learned to code. I never touched code until I got to college. And so what's impressive to me is we've had so many people on the show. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, when I was 8, 10, 12 years old, I was already making websites. And, you know, Kat, how you're saying, just you're on GeoCities, you were creating these online stores. And I didn't know how to do any of that until I was at least 18 years old. It's very impressive.
Yeah, these backgrounds are like crazy. They go everywhere.
We have a comment here that says, this classic GeoCities web pages were amazing. I remember being so amazed when someone had a mini plane in the back. Yes. I feel like we have another comment here about fandoms. Fandom taught me to write, video edit, Photoshop, and other stuff. I couldn't agree more. The whole like online community of bootleg Broadway shows taught me so much about like piracy, how to like barter. Like I would like create sheet music for like the Wicked, like shaky version of it. I mean, no, I very legally watched it.
What's LimeWire? And by the way, shout out to Mista and CWF, those two my friends. IG, hi Patrick.
Yeah, we got a bunch of cat stands in the chat here. How did you go from like the world of all of the blinkies and dolls and you know, things of MySpace to kind of, how did you go on that path to where we are now?
Well, boy, I didn't even know that web development was like an option, I guess, as a career. So I was kind of like floundering through high school because I just did not like care about anything. Like I didn't know what to do. I honestly like was surrounded by brilliant people. Like everybody was super smart. The majority of my class was in AP classes and I'm like, I'm a dummy. I don't know anything. I don't care. But I also had like this, I guess, pride where I had pressure to go to college that's not a community college. Not that I'm dunking on college community colleges, but of course like people do the thing. But yeah,
yeah. I went to that same pressure too.
Oh god,
it's like four-year college. Yeah, all the above.
So I went to SF State as an undeclared major, and then I failed chemistry twice because, okay, so I'm Filipino. I'm Filipino-American. And as we all know, Filipino-American women, or even men, or non-binary people, become nurses. Like, that's just the default. It's like, oh, hey, you're Filipino. Do you work at Kaiser? And I'm like, oh, no. But like, or when I was working at this gym in Berkeley, they're like, oh, do you go to UC Berkeley? And I'm like, ooh, I graduated with a 2.6, buddy. Yeah, so I went from SF State to beauty school.
Hey.
And I actually did my face to prove that I was a makeup person. I used to be an esthetician, a licensed esthetician. And I got a job right after beauty school, at a spa. And this lady was, or my boss was like, hey, so yeah, you can be my apprentice. Can you also man the, reception? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. I'll do anything. Cause I'm, you know, young and impressionable. So I think about for 1 to 2 years I was there and I'm like, okay, Catherine, when are you going to teach me? And it's just broken promise after broken promise. And then I decided to leave. And then I was desperate for another job. So I really wanted to be an esthetician. So on Craigslist, I just scoured the health and beauty like section for jobs, and I found the gym that I previously mentioned. And so I was their office manager over there. They taught Krav Maga. So I had free self-defense lessons. And geez, should I go into the story about the two owners?
Well, I think there's a quick pause here. I'm first of all feeling so many parallels between our journeys, Kat, because we went to the same college. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, so around the time that we both would have been graduating, Craigslist was such a like job searching place. Like back in the 2011-ish time, I got my first job ever through Craigslist as well at Yelp, not in an engineering role, in a sales role, because they used to like churn out these classes of like, they would call them sales or not sales representatives, it was account representatives. So it sounded very fancy and businesslike. And I was a new grad and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to work in an office. Mm-hmm. And I was so mesmerized. This is my first time being in a tech company before because I had a theater degree and I was like, I'll take whatever job I can get. And they had free deli meat in the fridge and it blew my mind. It wasn't even like the free Crystal Geyser sparkling water. I was like, we can just eat this bread and meat? And they're like, yeah, it's free for everyone. And that that was the bite into tech that I was like, food. Because if you've ever done theater... You're lucky if you get a pizza during tech week or like maybe a soda. So in a lot of ways, I feel like the promise of free jackets and tote bags and food, I was like, tech? And then, of course, I wouldn't end up getting into engineering until many years later. But I got so many of my first couple tech jobs on Craigslist. Now I feel like Craigslist maybe isn't as popular as a job searching marketplace as it used to be.
It's an abyss. I swear. It's an abyss. I was trying to look for a scooter or a Vespa for my fiance for Christmas, and I was just like, this is not working. I do not like this.
I think and one of the first jobs that I ever got, or right after Yelp, was, you know, like nowadays, I think it's called Intercom or something. There's a little chat that pops up in the bottom of the website. It's like, how can I help you? It was one of those. And they had posted something on Craigslist and they said, hi, how can we help you? And I said, I'm looking for a job. And they said, come in today. And I got the job that day. Like, that's how old school, like, job searching used to work at these, like, little startup tech companies back in the Bay Area. Back then it was, like, Craigslist, just, like, meeting people randomly in a coffee shop. I missed the before times, y'all.
Yeah, really. You know, our parents are like, hey, don't talk to strangers. Okay. Several years later, let me just call this Uber real quick. Get into this random stranger's
don't
car.
Tell my dad I'm on Twitter. That's about too many strangers I'm talking to on there. So, you worked at the Krav Maga place, mm-hmm. and what was it that kind of got? Were you able to apply some of these kind of previous skills that you had there?
Yes, actually. So the two owners. This was probably 2 months after I was hired. The two owners decided to break up. One guy took the name, the branding, the site, and half of the members and went to San Francisco, whereas the other guy stayed in Berkeley with, well, at least the facility, but no name, no website. And he just has the people that wanted to stay in Berkeley. So what I did for maybe 1 to 2 weeks was, one, split the database. And if anybody's ever worked with MindBody on the back end, oh boy, I like respect you.
Now, for people who've never used MindBody before, if you've ever taken a yoga class or a dance class or a circus class or any sort of fitness class, it's pretty much kind of the standard meetup.com for like online fitness classes. So it sounds like you were kind of faced with this challenge where you're like, okay, I need to do this simple task. And you didn't know it, but you were kind of like engineering your way around it by Googling, I would assume. Or banging. Oh, yeah. This is a Microsoft.
Banging. So I was looking at like the bottom of the footer and like, where's the contact? I just need to talk to a human. How do I do this? Because I have questions. And you know, for a couple of days, they were just like, you wanted to what? I'm like, OK, can you like take the San Francisco addresses and the Berkeley addresses, split them apart, email them to me as separate files? Thank you. They're like, oh, okay, I guess. And then I had to like check in with them, like call them every day. And I'm like, hi, is this Kat from Redacted?
This project.
And at the same time, I had to bug my boss about a logo and a new name. And I'm like, what are we called, man? I don't know what we're called. I can't design this logo without you telling me what we're called. And he's just like, oh, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later.
I love how he just tells you to do all this stuff, but mm-hmm. it's his business. And he doesn't even know the name or the logo of it. It's just like, yeah, you go figure this out. Just make it happen.
I'm about to like call this Krav Maga, I guess. Krav Maga gym, I guess.
Cat's Krav Maga.
Yes. And also, I had to ask people who have been regulars for a long time. Krav Maga. Okay. I had to ask regulars who have been members for a long time if they were willing to be volunteer instructors, you know, because the actual instructors went with the San Francisco guy. So we also did not have any instructors.
So it sounds like you're running this business.
Yeah.
I built the website on Weebly, like in one day. And I just had like this generic, like soldier font saying Krav Maga. And then put a random picture of my boss being all tough and stuff. And I was like, okay, here's the site. And here's our new MindBody account. By the way, we shouldn't be using MindBody because it's a mess.
So you kind of just had to learn by doing, really. And then you kind of like, it almost seems like you woke up and you're like, wait a second, I just like ran this whole business. Like,
well, I also established their like Facebook and Twitter accounts, but not Instagram. I think around like the 2012 area, Instagram was kind of
still new.
Yeah. So I made the logo and I actually like asked around like the people who wanted to stay at this gym. I asked them actually what they wanted to see out of this new era, I guess. And they were saying, oh, we need new t-shirts and they should only be black, or like, I don't know, more military font everywhere.
More extreme.
Yeah. No joke, it was called Krav Maga Extreme with an X.
Oh, what? Extreme.
Good ending.
Extreme. Yes. So I'm not sure if they're still using the logo I helped design. I had to figure my way out on Adobe Illustrator. I also had to coordinate getting the t-shirts. And
it
also
sounds like you had to do like just a lot of like, I don't know how to do that, I'm gonna go do it kind of stuff. So when you're interviewing now, like for these engineering roles, like I'm seeing so many parallels here, Kat, because there's so much not as an engineer that is so like it crosses the path of what an engineer is. And everything mm-hmm. that you're saying, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really know how to use this part of React. I'm going to look it up and learn how to do it. So it almost sounds like you engineered an entire business together.
I did. And if you ask them, because I left because he wanted to start paying me under the table. So he took me off of payroll and I was like, that's not good. So that's my cue to leave. And my significant other at the time, who was also an instructor there, he was saying like, you should get into UX design. He was also a DevOps person at Redacted Company. He was saying like, you have a lot of talent in tech. You should try UX design. And I'm like, yeah, I should. Let's go. So I went to Full Sail University and worked my ass off. I got straight A's, and I don't know, there's this one class where I got like a plain A because I think it was like a legal class of some sort, like copyright, I don't know, education or whatever. And she did not like me. Like, I had too many questions. Like, I don't understand this. I don't know how to translate this. Full Sail represent. Yeah, I don't even know if we have any mascots there. I don't know. Airplanes. Woo!
Co-airplanes.
Yes, co-airplanes. I don't know. So I graduated with a 3.9 GPA, straight A's, and I tried interviewing as a designer because my developer chops weren't as strong back then. And honestly, so this was 2016 and I got my Facebook contracting job in 2018. So this was 2 years. And between the 2 years, I was like relying on this really crappy person of a significant other and, some freelance stuff, but like, yeah, it was hard. And you know, I can totally identify with like the excitement of free food because like my first day at Facebook, manager
took me. Imagine.
She took me to what's it called? Full Circle Cafe, and okay. She was saying like, "Oh yeah, it's a buffet type of thing," you know. And then it's just this huge. It is a buffet. It was just huge, and yeah. Wow. And wow, so much stuff. And I'm like, so where do we pay for stuff? And she's like, what?
I feel like, you know, that scene from Annie where they like bring her to Warbucks Mansion. It's like, I think I'm gonna like it. That's like me whenever I'm in a tech office, because truthfully, the polar opposite of the previous one I was in. Like, the idea of free food is just it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It's amazing. Like, I worked professionally as an engineering for 5 years before moving out to San Francisco. That's when I got the job with Xamarin, and they happened to be headquartered out here. So that's when I moved out and got to experience this world of like, basically the tech world, where there's just like, yeah, free drinks, free food everywhere. And there's none of that where I came from.
It's one of the few industries, like even NASA, like I've gone to NASA, I've gone to, you know, Kennedy Space Center. They don't even have free food. Like, they pay for their own food in like a DMV looking cafeteria. Like, SpaceX gets the free food and bring their pets to work. But like, it is such a unique industry. Like, even if you're like an actor, there's like craft services and stuff, but it's like, okay, but tech's got it made. I also saw a tweet recently that said, it was a free food tweet, but then there was a follow-up tweet that said, tech pays so much because therapy is expensive. And I think the same goes for the free food.
Free food is expensive. Oh my God.
So I imagine that like the world now, so like you're out there and you're applying and you're pounding the pavement, as we say, mm-hmm. trying to get a job in the software engineering world. So you mentioned you're looking for DevRel roles. What kind of stuff mm-hmm. are you looking for? And shout out to anybody else out there who's hiring.
Right. I am available. So I'm looking for mainly UI, UX engineering roles, front end. My strengths are definitely in design. Like, I think when I was in high school, I was like, yeah, you know what? Graphic design sounds fun. And then, you know, depression is just like, you suck at that. Don't do it. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just go
also, I feel like no one tells you, like, in high school, like, hey, you like this thing that you're doing? Like, that's a job.
Right? Like, nobody does that.
We had to make these senior portfolios at my performing arts high school where I believe we just, like, made a PowerPoint that was clickable. Like, you click through it. So we basically made a website. And I was like, this is fun. But no one was like, oh, you like this? That's software engineering. Because, of course, we were all about to go off to college and get our respective performing arts degrees from wherever we're going. But I feel like, yeah, it's like really to put upon like 16, 17 year old, 18 year old kids to like decide what you're going to do the rest of your life. Like graphic design would have been cool.
Yeah. And that's actually why I did. So I did computer engineering in college. And to be honest with you, didn't even know what that meant.
That's what
other than like I knew I liked computers
that as well. Like, I don't know what it meant. I'm like, these men are brave getting degrees in things they don't know what it means.
It was like, so my dad was an engineer and I really like computers, so why not be a computer engineer?
Well, maybe it's just like an impact. Kind of spoke to this earlier as well, that like sometimes it just takes somebody telling you, like for you, Kat, it was this DevOps person being like, hey, you'd be really good at UX and design. Like for me, it was my boyfriend being like, oh, you can still learn to code. Like me and the name engineer never would have put that in the same sentence if someone else hadn't said it to me. So that's what makes me so excited to see people like Kat in this industry, because I'm like, yes, please help influence more quirky right. people to come and join us.
And then like I see like little Filipino, mostly girls actually. Oh, that's my fiance. Hey. Anyways, I see more Filipino girls get kind of like not harassed, but like pushed into nursing when they don't sure. want to. It's just like, I hate blood, but nursing makes you a lot of money, Anak. It's like, okay. Anak is like my child or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You know, so. You need to make more money so you can support your family in the future and give me grandbabies.
I feel like there's a shirt you would really like, Kat, that I wear often that says, the girl of my dreams is just me with more money.
Yes, I need that.
It's very true. I think like we're kind of like, even my family, of course, is just like, wow, you did the thing and you became an engineer. But I think especially once I first started going into this industry, everyone was like, are you sure? Like, you like musicals. Like,
what is this? Who are you?
Okay. And that's what makes me so excited to see people who come from these like, for example, it makes me so excited with you with this makeup background. Anna Medina, also famously a Neopets mm-hmm. and a MySpace stan, also has a makeup background as well. And I just can't wait for these like makeup themed apps, for these like musical. Oh, speaking of musicals, y'all. We promised the folks at home. Well, Kat was talking about her passion for design, and I would love to get your opinion on this design question, Kat. Ratatouille the musical. Yes. Let's talk about this. And for the folks at home who aren't familiar, don't worry, it's not what it sounds like. So, ooh, someone says, is there a developers who love musicals club? Because I need to sign up for that. It's right here. Join it. Get into it.
Tune in
every week. So, y'all, there's this phenomenon that I've been made aware of called Ratatouille the Musical, and I would love to talk about it because it feels like open source to me in the musical theater fashion. So there's a thread that I will tweet, but basically there was a call for content. Someone on TikTok was like, hey, y'all, Ratatouille the Musical should be a thing. We need set designers, costumers, choreographers, singers, dancers, actors. And they basically, just like a call for papers for a conference or something, put out this call for submissions, right? So now TikTok is full of all these like choreography submissions, like people auditioning for the role of Remy's dad. There's full songs and orchestrations being submitted to this project during quarantine. And it's one of the most beautiful, like just coming together of a nerdy musical online theater community. Speaking of online fandoms, Kat and Brandon, would love to get your take on Ratatouille the Musical, because this has blown my mind.
Open source is correct. I did not think of that. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. It is open source. Pull request on this.
Yes.
Well, there's actually like it's what is his name? It's Hit Record Joe on Twitter. Joseph Gordon-Levitt He and his brother, I believe, run this website called Hit Record, where it's open sourced art. So people will put like stuff up and be like, we want to make this video, so we need a song about this, and people to submit stories about this. So it's like kind of this open sourced art community. So Ratatouille the musical, I was like, oh my God, it's like, is open source art.
It is. Oh my gosh, this pandemic has like sprouted some craziness, including creative insanity, which is great.
What is the coolest creative project that y'all have seen during Quar? Does anybody have a fave?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I don't know if you guys are fans of The Office.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. I've seen every episode probably at least four times. But somebody put together a whole, whole new season. I forget how many. I think The Office had 9 seasons, so they made a 10th. And it's a whole transcript that you can download free online that they put together of like basically The Office if it took place in 2020, like a modern day The Office. And just incredible. And I actually, we should do a call for content here. I tried to get a bunch of friends together because I was like, how fun would this be? Because we can't leave the house. We're all quarantined at home. That we just dial into a Zoom meeting and basically do a table read. So like, you could be Michael Scott. Like, you could be Jim Halpert. Yeah. That sounded amazing.
So I believe one of our previous guests, Charmaine, was telling me that there is a Slack channel or something of that nature that you can join that is just Slack conversations between the characters of The Office. So it's almost like performing art on the Slack channel. Allegedly, I'll have to follow up on this, but apparently.
I like remember the live journal days where there are role playing journals everywhere. And I never caught on to it, but I've seen a couple friends jump on that train for like, I don't know, what was the fandom? I don't know, Sailor Moon or Inuyasha.
Let's see. I want to get his name right because I want to shout him out. Let's see. Okay, so the understudy for Beetlejuice in Beetlejuice the Musical, his name is Will Blum, B-L-U-M. There's this musical called Floyd Collins, which is not done very often. It's kind of like a niche musical. I believe that's about these miners who get like stuck in the mines or something like that. And Will Blum, with 400, I want to get this number right, 476 pieces of cardboard, created a 125-foot cave, and he staged a full production of Floyd Collins, like, in his New York apartment. And for me, it's just been so, I still very much identify as an artist, like, even though I work in tech now, and there's, I don't think people really have a concept of how many artists are out of work right now, because just to put on one Broadway show isn't just the actors you see on stage. It's the people in the box office. It's the set designers. It's the lighting designers. It's the choreographers. It's the producers. It's stage managers. It's so many people. It's the costume changers. So like thousands of people are out of work. And I think what I love the most about Ratatouille the Musical is it not only gives like a creative outlet for these people to like showcase their art, but it really does go to show just like how creative these people are during like a pandemic. Like, of course, nobody on Broadway is able to perform right now. So what do? You build a giant cave out of cardboard and self-produce your own musical. Of course.
I'll work on my scripts.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, they're writing their own scripts, writing their own songs, doing their own set design, performing it all by themselves. It's incredible.
One person shows.
And I really hope it happens. I really hope it comes together because, I mean, Ratatouille is one of the, well, it's definitely the most underappreciated Pixar movies, but I think it's one of the best storylines. It's just so complete and so diverse. And
it's about mentorship and rats. Yeah. Also the ride. I looked at the YouTube video of the ride in Japan, I want to say. PJ will have to fact check me. Okay, there is a Disney theme park ride of Ratatouille, and it looks incredible, and I really want to go on it. But an interesting kind of thing around this, which came up from another article I read about TikTok, talking tech here, y'all, is so I was thinking about Ratatouille the musical, right? And getting the rights to any sort of entity to make it into like a musical, there's a lot of legal stuff that goes around with it. And I don't know if people have been following, but there's this amazing TikToker who mixes paint, and he was working at Sherwin-Williams, and Sherwin-Williams fired him because they were like, oh, like you're capitalizing on using it. But he's like one of the most followed TikTok people for paint or whatever. But this new company, Florida Paints, I just read this morning, hired him. And now it's great branding for Florida Paints because they have this famous TikToker doing it. So I guess this kind of begs the question with Ratatouille the musical, something so beautiful like this, where it's like the logistics of getting all of the different writers and creators to actually make this musical would take a lot of work. But I really want it to happen, y'all. Like, oh, I feel like it would be such a, it would be complicated for Disney, but it would be such a great like marketing move. That would be so cool.
Just like, dude, just do it, Disney. Don't stop them. It's like, so come on, I think Disney. A while ago, Nintendo sent a cease and desist to these people who were making a Pokemon MMO or massive multiplayer online game.
Okay.
And it was like established already. Like they were ready to send out invites for like this, the beta testing. And they got hit with the cease and desist, and it's just like, they're already, oh my God, that's my site. Oh my
God. I was just trying to cue it up.
Oh my God, tech. Where is it going with this? Well, oh, they already have it set up, and it's just like, do you know, it's like, just pay them like $1 million and steal it. Come on. Everybody wants this.
But it's tough, right? Because I remember, I'm going to kind of butcher this story, but I had Scott Chacon, one of the co-creators of GitHub, come on a panel of mine once, and it was a panel on open source. And we were kind of talking about open source etiquette, right? Like, when should you contribute? When should you not? And it's like, yes, do contribute things that are helpful or useful or being asked for. But I think he had mentioned, like, they had open sourced some book, like some kind of like a book that he had written, and they put it on GitHub, and someone went through and edited and took out all of like the commas or something, or they like changed the Oxford commas, and he's like, no, I don't want this. So it's like, if you are going to contribute, if you are going to build something, you are going to do something and take the time and contribute, like make sure, like if you're not just doing it for yourself, make sure people want it. So I always think of that story. I'm just like, I'm probably butchering it a little bit. Shout out to Scott if you're watching. Another musical theater fan.
Remember Hacktober?
Yes.
Yes.
This year?
Just like 5 or 6 years ago, but yes.
Yeah. The first week, people were just like, hey, I made a pull request, take a look. And it's just like, what's the change? The title, you know, they add awesome documentation of, I don't know, React or Next.js.
Right. Just poor Hacktoberfest. Such a good, pure idea. Just trying to help the community.
People just wanted a shirt, y'all.
People just want like free stickers.
A shirt. One shirt. Why?
So Kat, what is next for you? Like you're on the job search. Obviously, you're going to get 100 job interviews from this video, obviously, because we're just promoting. We're like, hire Kat. But please, what's next? Like where do we see Kat like 5 years from now? What is Kat doing? I know, like, difficult question, right? But like, let's help paint this. We're going to manifest. We're going to like make a vision board of Kat.
I have like crystals back there or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So we're at build or something, build 2024. We can go outside again. What are you giving a talk on? What is Kat's world?
Besides Ratatouille the musical.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Producing Ratatouille the musical. Thank you for coming to my TED talk. Someone said twice as many stuffed animals. I think that's canon. Oh my
gosh. Yes. Patrick and I were actually like joking about like an entire room full of plushies. I mean, like, I am having so much trouble just getting rid of those. That Pikachu right there is 20 years old.
Wow.
Ooh, vintage. Chunk-a-choo. Anyways, Kat in 2024 would be talking about, and I can't believe this is like a thing still. So I've been experiencing a lot of just bias against me as a woman and a person of color, like there was like one interview that I made it to the final round to, and for the reason that I didn't get this internship was because this other person finished their interviews before me. Like, why waste my time? So maybe like how I overcame, you know, adversity, getting a job in tech as a woman of color.
So many parallels to like I mentioned earlier, you know, cats pounding the pavement. And I truly mean that in that, like, getting your first engineering role is a lot like auditioning. Like, how do you get the experience before you have the experience? How do you even get your toe, pinky finger toe in, let alone your foot in the door? And Kat, based on the comments alone, you got a lot of fans here cheering you on, first of all. And I cannot wait to see what you do in this industry. Truthfully, you're so close and we're so excited to see. I'm stoked for this talk. I'm like so here for it. And if you need any horror stories, I'm here. I can contribute. I have to share this comment because it made me LOL. Pikachu going to college.
He's 20 years old now. It's...
Pikachu. Mama proud.
Just don't feel like you're forced to go to college, Pikachu. You can do whatever you want. Follow your passions.
Yeah, what is Pikachu majoring
in? Being hella cute, or
yeah,
electrical engineer.
Ooh, maybe a minor in photography from his Pokemon Snap days.
Oh my gosh! I made my brother drive me to Blockbuster every week to get Pokemon Snap pictures.
So that is a project that's been on my back burner a long time, and the only thing that stopped me from making this is figuring out, I guess I would just use an N64, but what technology I would need to extract the images from the N64 cartridge. Because I don't want to build the big thing. I just want to like build a small version. So anybody out there wants to build this, hit me up. But Kat, I think we should build some sort of like AIML musical theater recommendation thing. Like, I feel like we've got to use these skills in our brain of our musical theater knowledge and apply it to tech. We've got all these people in the chat asking where the club's at. It's right here.
Make the club. So I see we only have a couple minutes left. So you saw a sneak peek of Kat's website pop up earlier, because I wanted to show it off because I think it is truly amazing. And
thank you,
Kat. You're most welcome. But so I'm a mobile developer. I make iOS and Android apps, and
I've never heard of his work. The Get Trends app, the official app of the show. Go on.
GetTrends.com, GitTrends.com. Download it today for free. But anyways, Kat, your website is so well done and put together. And I just wanted to highlight this, show it off to the world, because I've made one website in my life and it just had text. So I had headline text, I had a paragraph text, and look just how beautiful this website is and how it scrolls and things slide in from the side, and
you
can go dig in your portfolio and
play the
and
game, see
all your GitHub repos. Dude, can we click on this?
Yes, play the game, please.
Yes, we haven't played a game on the show in a while.
It opened in a new tab. Let's see. Now I got it. Kill a cow. Boom. Okay,
so
start.
Try, just play it how you normally would, whatever.
Oh my gosh, this is so cute. Kat!
Block. Throw. Am I winning? Yes, now I am. Block. Throw. Oh! Strike. Block. Throw.
Oh! Oh! Kat, I love it.
Okay. Restart and just... hit strike.
Oh, is that the secret?
Yeah.
Just bam.
A secret.
I love
it. Uh-oh, strike went away. The bear hit my punching arm? Hold on. Can everybody see this? That's not fair.
Hire Kat at your company, and you too could get UX like this.
Oh, no.
This is great.
You might lose an arm, but yeah. That's the risk we're willing to take because Kat is so amazing.
Oh my goodness.
One more try. Do the block like all in a row. You won!
We did it!
Even though you lost your arm.
Did it with one hand, tied behind my back. Dang. That's so cool.
Yeah, do it with block, like click block like 3 times in a row or something like that. I forget what the
Didn't really do anything. Bear went to sleep and healed. Now I need to fight.
I love this.
And then I keep striking. And then I lose my arm. And then I throw the bear. I don't know if I'm going to win this one.
R.I.P. Kat, this is giving me flashbacks to when I was in Hackbrite. They would give us these assignments and they would be like, oh, like use this CSS to make this image go from small to big. And everyone else would use like stock images. And mine would be like the sloth dressed up as a pope. Like all of my stuff had such a sense of humor. And I just love these little Easter eggs of like a bear eating your arm. I'm just like, how is this lady not hired yet? Hire this lady. So funny.
Please. I have amazing. A crazy wedding to pay for next year.
Well, we have the link below. Buy Kat a coffee.
That's right.
Support Kat. buymeacoff.ee/KatBSCode. And final important question, because I feel like we need to settle this debate. Is it Kat versus code or Kat VS code?
Okay, and let me get the tally real quick. It's Kat versus code.
Kat versus code. But if you got a job on the VS code team, it could be a VS code. Handle.
It was meant to be.
Exactly. Hint, wink, nudge. And see, I would totally be a great dev rel person or dev avocado.
Well, I'm sure we will be seeing you on the stage at one of these conferences soon. I cannot wait to hear this talk on inclusivity and diversity in tech. I used to give one myself on called Diversity is Not Equal to Stock Photos of Hands. Because when you Google the word diversity, the first Google page is all just rainbow hands. And you'll notice if you go out and there's posters, it's like first clip art that pops up. And I think the more that we can make diversity not be a clip art of rainbow hands and actually about hiring interesting, I mean, don't even get me started on the name of fleets. That's a story for another day. But just having diverse voices in the room can make such a difference. So I welcome to the world you've been in the world for a long time, Kat, but I'm just so excited to see all the butts you're going to kick in the best way possible.
Thank you so much for having me on here. It's so it's such an honor, really. Like I was like, what?
Should we close out on a song from Ratatouille the musical? Brandon, do you want to do choreography? And
I'm really good at chair dancing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll see. Fantastic. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Happy seasonings greetings to all. In the last couple minutes, should we share what snack we're excited to eat for the holidays tomorrow?
Sure.
Well, I have a pie and a half in my fridge waiting for me. So I'm pretty stoked on the pie and a half. And maybe we'll see, but I think we're going to order some delivery to support some local businesses. And we have a place here called Homeroom that sells mac and cheese. And I'm hoping that they have special... Thanksgiving, yes. Mac. So happy seasonings, greetings. How about you, Kat?
So my brother bought this gigantic Costco size bag of Yukon Gold potatoes. And every year I make random ass mashed potatoes, put whatever in. So potatoes, mashed potatoes. Ooh, for everybody.
Love mashed potatoes.
And actually the next day he makes potato waffles out of the leftovers. So I'm like stoked for that.
What?
Nice.
What a genius idea.
Yes.
How about you, Brandon?
Ooh. So this year's unique. I mean, obviously it's 2020, so we're not traveling. We're not doing it with family or friends. It's just going to be my wife and I. But we switched to a plant-based diet back in January. And so we're doing a plant-based Thanksgiving with all the fixins, but it's all like tofurkey instead of turkey. And it's like cashew cheese instead of like mac and cheese. And so I have no idea what to expect. I've been like pleasantly surprised on this plant-based journey because all these meat substitutes are just so good nowadays that unless, you know, if you're comparing it to like a really nice steak, then obviously the really nice steak is going to be better than the
I've been eating lots of nugs. So nugs, yes. Please sponsor us.
Yes. Yes.
Mostly my body nugs. Is made of nugs.
Beyond Meat was like mind blowing. Like, what? This tastes good?
It's good. Yeah.
Well, but I'm super stoked to hear next week about this veggie giving, y'all. Ooh, we've only got a couple seconds left. should we gobble? Gobble out. Just kidding. Thank you so much for joining us, Kat.
Yes.
And we'll see y'all next week. And happy